Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is nutrition, and we're going to discuss short-term versus long-term success. So this is based on a conversation I had recently with a client, and it's a new client, somebody that came to me, said they want to kind of make a change in their life, redo some things, and they had been telling me the things that they had been trying that hadn't been working. They were getting some results, but they would kind of like fall off, you know, the wagon, so to speak. They'd kick back onto another kind of structure of a diet, get some results, fall off again. And we were kind of talking about what the characteristics of eating for short-term success versus long-term success look like, what those characteristics look like. And I thought it would make a good podcast. Let's hope so. So, because you're in here already, so hopefully your time of listening will be worth it. But it was kind of something where we went through it, and we talked and started saying that both styles of dieting, and this can be dieting for like fat loss, dieting to gain weight, dieting for maximum performance. So when I say diet, I just mean a structured way of eating. So if you say nutrition plan, diet plan, whatever, they're all the same thing. You can put on whatever lipstick on the pig you want, but it's still a pig. So we're going to do some structured eating. And whether you have the short-term format, which we're going to talk about some characteristics, like negative characteristics of short-term and some positive characteristics of long-term. But whether you do the short-term or the long-term, they both have success in the short-term, meaning both ways will lead to results. And that can be the tricky part for a lot of people, is they'll do things quote-unquote the wrong way, as viewed by, say, me, a nutritionist, and they're going to get results for it. So then it's very hard to tell them that that's the wrong way, because they say, look, this is what I got. You know, oh, I lost 20 pounds on the scale. And somebody like me can look at that and be like, yeah, but if you did, say you lost 20 pounds in 3 months, and it was just due to all the stupid, crazy rules and shit that you did yourself, and it was miserable, you hated it, but you got the weight off. Congratulations, that weight is all coming back. So often, when people try nutrition things, they're trying it with the knowledge that they have in that moment. Meaning that if they did a 3-month program, they can only see the last 3 months. Whereas when you're talking to a nutritionist, we can see the next 3 months. We can see what your future will be because we've seen people do what you did before. So, real quick side story is I had someone recently I knew. They did a ketogenic style diet, and if you listen to me at all in the past, I don't like ketogenic diets. So there are many reasons, but they're a starvation based diet, so they are not actually a healthy way to eat. They're short term, very short term success, and it doesn't promote healthy lifestyle. So of eating, meaning this is not something you can do for the rest of your life. It's something you're just going to do short term, get short term results, be happy, but it's all coming right back. So in podcast number 129, titled Starvation Diets, Intermittent Fasting and Keto, we've discussed and talked about what the problems and limitations are of intermittent fasting and ketogenic diets, and how the problems that exist are not short term problems. So intermittent fasting absolutely will take weight off a scale when you start doing it because it reduces calories. So we've talked before about what are the most important components of a successful diet. So we say number one is calories. How many calories you eat will dictate whether you lose weight or gain weight or stay the same. So even if I eat Oreos and ice cream, if I eat half the calories I need, I will lose weight. Likewise, even if I eat organic grass-fed everything, so but I eat twice the calories I need, I will gain weight. So calories are kind of the number one factor we would want to pay attention to. Then there's protein intake, and we've talked about that for many reasons, why that's important. Then we have meal timing, macronutrient quality, and then other stuff. So that's what's most important when you look at a diet, is calories, protein intake, meal timing, and macronutrient quality. So when you look at intermittent fasting, it does address calories. It doesn't typically address protein. They might have some rules in there, but people don't listen to those rules. Intermittent fasting is I just want to eat like shit. And instead of me eating like shit all day, I'm going to eat like shit in 4-hour window. That's it. Like, you can, you know, make it as grand as you want to say. But that's basically what you're trying to do, is I want to take all of my normal habits and my current level of knowledge. I don't want to do any work whatsoever to improve those. So let me just limit the amount of stupidity that I'm going to do in a day, and therefore it'll make me better results. Now, you can tell that this is quite maybe agitative language, so anybody doing intermittent fasting right now probably wants to punch me in the face. But that's essentially what you're doing, is you're taking whatever knowledge you have now, whatever bad habits you have now, and you're just trying to limit the time that you can basically make all these mistakes. That is what intermittent fasting is. Ketogenic diets are, again, I don't want to learn anything new. I don't want to have to do anything new. I don't want to have to put in any effort whatsoever, but I want all of the results I could ever wish for, okay? And your way of doing that is to just not eat carbohydrates. So let me figure out what carbs are, which is pretty much all the foods I probably like. Let me not eat any of them, but let me do whatever the hell else I want to do. So if I want to eat 10 pounds of bacon for breakfast, fine, because there's no carbohydrates. If I want to skip breakfast, fine, because there's no carbohydrates. If I want to go out on the weekend and do a whole bunch of stupid crap with all my friends and not pay attention to anything nutrition-wise, fine, because there's no carbohydrates. So both of those styles of diets, they give a basic rule, is like some way to control caloric intake. So in ketogenic diets, you're just eliminating an entire food group, which even if you try to make it up in bacon and butter, you're still not going to have a great way to make up all of those calories. And even if you try to eat all of the calories you normally eat into tons of fats, typically most people are just going to get sick, or they're going to feel really full at first. So they're not actually going to be able to make up those calories in the initiation. Eventually, their body will adjust to eating fats, they'll overeat their fats, and they'll be in the same damn problem they were in when they started. So again, intermittent fasting is, I'm not going to change anything about the bad habits I have. I'm just going to limit my availability to do stupid things. So now that I've ticked off everybody in that category, so that's essentially when we look at why some diets are short-term versus long-term successful, is almost all diets there are in the world nowadays do understand that you have to control calories. So almost all diets are going to have some short-term success because there's going to be a way to limit your calorie intake. So there are some diets that just turn the word calories into points. So instead of saying 2,000 calories a day, you have 12 points. And then you have to make up your 12 points. It's the same damn thing. It's like, ugh. So people get all excited and they're like, I'm on a point system. It's the same thing as calories, you jackass. Like, there's no difference whatsoever. You're just counting a different name of the same damn thing. So apparently I'm in a bad mood today, so I apologize for everybody. I'm being very sarcastic. But that's what you typically look at when things are short-term successful, is there are very strict rules. Like, that are ridiculously unnecessary when you know the grand scheme of things. But, for example, in intermittent fasting, there's time restraints. Okay, you can't eat except for in this window of time. Okay, with ketogenic diets, there's food restrictions or food occlusions, which is like, no carbohydrates. There used to be a diet of no fats, like a low-fat diet. So there's been diets all over the time where people have entire categories of foods that'll be excluded. So they're very strict rules, and they're also restrictive. So meaning that they're not really, most short-term diets are not able to be morphed and modified into your lifestyle. This is just the diet rules, and you have to change your entire lifestyle to the diet. That is stupid, and it's not going to work, okay, long-term. So I have literally seen diets that said you can't eat meat. And then some diets that said you can eat any meat you want, but you can't eat red meat. Then I've seen certain diets, like caveman style diets, where they're like, the only thing you should eat is red meat. And it's like, oh my gosh, you idiots. So people make all these crazy rules, and there is some reason behind it. So, for example, a time restraint in intermittent fasting. If I say, okay, intermittent fasting means I'm going to fast most of the day, but I'm going to eat my calories between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. There's a reason for that, is because you're trying to restrict calories. And we know that calories are the most important factor. So there's a reason for it, but it's a stupid way to address the reason. And the reason why I say that is because all short-term diets, like we said so far, is they're very strict rules and they're very restrictive, meaning that you have to morph your life to that diet. That is almost always going to be short-term, not long-term successful, because a lot of our lifestyle is already like predetermined, set in stone. So if I work a 9-to-5 job, that is my lifestyle. And that's a huge factor. Are you going to quit your job based on a diet structure you want to follow? No. Most people will just look for a diet structure that fits their 9-to-5 job. What if I work like a second shift and I work, say, I don't even know what the hell second shift is, like 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., something like that? So all of a sudden, if my intermittent fasting window is 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., oh, shit, like now I'm supposed to eat like all my day's food while I'm at work? That's not going to work well. So they'll switch their time to a different time. So there are certain things in our lifestyle that cannot be changed, okay? So like a job is just one of many examples. So certain people, for example, they'll have food allergies or food kind of restrictions. So if somebody's lactose intolerant and they wanted to use a diet style that relies a lot on like animal-based products for like healthy cholesterol, healthy fats, and blah, 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 whatever the reasons are, like high protein and stuff, well, they're pretty much screwed. So if somebody just doesn't like meat, you'll notice that they kind of adopt the vegan or vegetarian lifestyle. And I mean, that's fine. You can do that. But typically, a lot of times, people are going to pick a restrictive style diet based on the limitations of lifestyle that they have. So, and that becomes a problem because now you're picking some arbitrary structure based on things, and it doesn't mean that that new arbitrary structure was any better than the other one. So, instead, what we want when we look at long-term success is to focus on concepts, not strict rules. So, for example, if one way to control my caloric intake is time restraints, I could also just be aware of controlling my caloric intake, and I can address that however I need. So, for example, I promote most people to eat more calories while they're awake and active and moving their body, because calories are fuel, and when we're moving ourselves is when we need the most fuel. When we're not as active, it is beneficial to eat slightly less, not nothing. So we've gone to a podcast recently that you're still burning about 60 to 70% of your total calories you need per day, even when you're just sitting there doing nothing, but you're awake. You're still burning 60, 70% of the calories you need. So if I'm just sitting and watching TV, it doesn't mean I should eat nothing in that time frame of the day. It just means I should eat less. So what we try to do is focus on meal timing, which we've talked about in podcast number 249. And what that more so means is, if I'm at an active time of the day, I eat more than I do at other times of the day. If I'm at an inactive time of the day, I'm going to eat less calories than I do at other times of the day. By just applying that concept, it'll allow me to control my caloric intake. It also allows me variability. So whereas short-term diets are restrictive, long-term diets are open and variable. They have ways you can kind of mold them to your life. So we just had a podcast recently. Let me look if I can see up the name of it. But sedentary. We talked about sedentary workers. So it was podcast number 390, proper nutrition for sedentary workers. So for people who are not very active during the day, they just go to work, they do what they need to do, and then they work out in the evening. So their active time is kind of more so in the evening. Well, again, what happens if you were doing that intermittent fasting and you said, I'm only allowed to eat from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., but you work out at 6 p.m.? So you're going to try to rush through your workout, get home by 7:30, start trying to shove your face like full of food from maybe 8 to 10, and you really only have a 2-hour window. Well, there was no need for that damn window in the first place. So, and if you work out at 6 o'clock and you haven't eaten anything all day because your window is only 6 to 10, how the hell are you going to work out? You have no energy. So you're just going to take enough caffeine to kill a horse, and you're going to rely on cortisol and caffeine to get through your workout, not healthy fuels. You'll find that you're going to have a lot of like acute little small annoyances, your elbow, forearm, ankle, knee, things are going to hurt. You're going to feel tired and fatigued all day. You're not going to recover very well throughout your training, like over the course of like the whole week or even a month. Your progress is going to be very stalled out. You're going to be flabby and soft compared to like lean and muscular. So there's going to be an enormous reduction of results simply because you adhere to some stupid time frame rather than just controlling your calories all day, but leading up to the workout, being able to eat and make sure you're fueled properly. So if you focus on concepts of meal timing, which is eat more when I move more, eat less when I move less, and try if I can to eat more before I'm about to move. So you want to feed ahead of activity, not just by recovering from activity. If that's a lifestyle you have, that you have a very unpredictable schedule, and that's all you can really do is just kind of eat a medium baseline, and then after you had to do something really active, you might recover, then that's fine because that's a lifestyle you have. But again, that shows how you have to be open to manipulating the rules to your lifestyle so that way you still achieve the concept of calorie control, but you're doing it in a way that fits your lifestyle in a way that you can do forever and ever and ever. Okay? So when we learn long-term success diets, again, they're going to be focused on concepts, not restrictive rules. Also, long-term diets are more open. They have structures and ways to allow carbohydrates rather than being restrictive where you can't have any carbohydrates. A good successful diet, long-term success style diets, they can be vegetarian and vegan. They can exclude meat if they want to, or you can have meat if you want to. So it's more open to interpretation and lifestyles and preferences. If people want to have wine, you know, once or twice a week, or if you want to go out with, a date night with your spouse or a significant other, and you want to do that once a week, allow yourself to live life. You don't have to be exclusory of those things. You can't never have wine. You can't ever go out to eat with your friends. That's not going to work. Okay? A lot of times, whenever the short term, like when the diet you pick has very strict rules and it is restrictive, that is going to lead you to an all or nothing or an on and off mindset. Meaning you're either on your diet or you're off your diet. You're either all the way into it or you're doing jack shit about it, okay? So that's another sign of a short-term success diet. So if you have a feeling as you go through the diet, whatever your diet you're following, if you feel like some days you're doing great, other days you're like, ah, screw it, I've already messed up today, what does it even matter? That is not a good sign. So if you have this on and off mindset, like you're either on your diet or off your diet, or you're either all in or you're not doing it at all, that is a bad, bad sign. That means that you are doing a short-term success and possibly no success diet. Whereas a long-term success diet, it's a lifestyle. You have good days, you have bad days, but you're always on your diet. So I might have messed up breakfast, but I'm going to pick it right back up at lunch. You know, like there are ways to where it's kind of an ebb and flow, kind of medium, doing well, doing not so well, but it's always on, if that makes sense. That is a long-term successful mindset, is I'm always doing my diet. Sometimes I'm doing it better than other days, but I'm always on my diet. Whereas if you say, I'm doing X and X diet, you know, on Monday, you start on Monday, and by Monday at noon, you screwed it up, and then you're like, screw it, and then all of a sudden you eat all the shit you want. That is not a good long-term success. So I've had a client before. This lady did not last long, and it not because it was anything of her, like, not in her as a person, it's just we didn't have the same idea. So I gave her a diet structure, and she did it on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Tuesday she made quite a few mistakes, but it was more kind of effort than she was used to putting in. Wasn't anything amazing, but it was more effort than she was used to putting in. Wednesday, she tried to do it again. She kind of messed up like a thing on Wednesday and then got mad at herself and like countered it with another bad thing later on Wednesday. So we had to kind of correct that and say, hey, we don't do that. you don't make two mistakes, don't make it, you know, two wrongs don't make it right. So then on Thursday, she tried her best, and she actually did pretty well. On Friday, she said she was just worn out. She couldn't do it anymore. So she just ate a bunch of garbage and a whole bunch of horrible shit she shouldn't have eaten and just said, you know, diets don't work for me. And it's like, holy crap. You took 3 days, well, 3.5 if you want to be favorable, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the first half of Friday. You didn't even get any of it right, really. I mean, because you're just learning a skill yet. So if I tried to play the guitar, you know, can I play Stairway to Heaven on the first day? No. So it's going to take some time to get good at something. So she went into it thinking that it was going to be, I'm just going to do this new set of rules. It'll just be bing, 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 black and white. I do this. I don't do that. I'm going to get everything I want for it. No efforts, no strain. Again, I don't have to learn anything new. And I don't have to change anything about my existing habits. That was the mindset. I told her the entire time that was going to fail. I still gave her the diet that was the best for her. I helped her along the way, and it failed. So I was kind of bummed for her. But, again, what it came down to was she was trying to go at it at this all or nothing. Like, I'm going to be perfect, or I'm not doing it. And I'd tell her right away, I said, you're not going to be perfect. Get rid of that. Please, please, please don't do that. I said, I'm not even perfect every day, and I'm the one writing the diet for you. So I was like, don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. And there she was. Like I said, on Wednesday, she made one mistake, and then because she couldn't accept the fact that she made a mistake, she made another mistake to try to fix that one. So it was kind of a downhill spiral. So think about in the diet or whatever kind of structure of eating you're following right now. Are there very strict rules, or are there just general concepts you're trying to follow? Is what you're doing very restrictive? Meaning it says blank, like flat out, yes or no, you can't have this, you can't have that. Or is it open? Okay. So like, for example, an open style diet might be like, okay, we want to have some protein at lunch. Protein can come from kind of any of these variable, like meat sources. Maybe you could do cottage cheese. Maybe you could do regular cheese. Maybe you can do like a protein powder, protein bar if you need to, if it's a quick lunch. Like you do whole eggs, you know, maybe eggs and chicken on a salad. But it has like openness. Like there's this possibility, that possibility, this possibility. Or is your diet, it has to be XXX. So I have to have 4 ounces of, you know, chicken breast with 1 cup of, you know, blah, 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 and, a head of lettuce, whatever the hell people eat. So, I have to have these specific foods, or I can have these category of foods. If it's a specific food diet, it's going to be short-term successful, not probably long-term successful. Okay? If it's open, then it's probably more long-term successful. And does your diet have the feeling of an all or nothing or an on and off? You're either on it or you're not on it. Okay, that's a bad sign. Or are you saying to yourself, you know what, I'm trying my best on this diet. Yeah, I'm going to screw up a little bit here and there. But overall, I'm happy I'm working towards something that's going to make me healthier. That's a much better, more long-term successful style diet. Now, both of these in this entire podcast is of the assumption that you're going for long-term effects. There are some times where people do short-term diets for short-term effects. If you think of a contest prep diet. Okay, somebody's getting ready to do maybe a strength-based competition, and they have to weigh a certain amount. So they might take 10 pounds off their body weight in, say, 8 weeks, knowing that they're not going to stay at that lighter weight. They just need to do that to make a weight class for the competition, and they're going to come back up in weight whenever they're away from the competition. Totally fine, then, to do short-term success diets. Diets that have strict rules, diets that have restrictions to them, and diets that do feel kind of like you're on or off, because you're either having to do it right to get to the goal, okay, of the weight lost, or you're doing it wrong and you're not going to meet the goal. So that can be for strength-based. It can be for aesthetics. If somebody's going to step on stage, then they want to have like six-pack abs everywhere and be like, you know, severely under 10% body fat. So sometimes we would want short-term diets because we want short-term results. So if you're in that situation and your diet feels like it has strict rules, it's restrictive, and it has an all-or-nothing mindset, that might actually not be a bad thing. But if you're trying to make a change in your body, So if you're trying to lose weight or gain weight, okay, like say you're a bodybuilder or somebody trying to gain size, if you're trying to do that for just a lifelong result, meaning I would like to lose 30 pounds so I could do a little bit better on my blood work and not feel so fat, but I would also like to keep those 30 pounds off, then you want to have long-term diet, one that focuses on concepts, not strict rules, one that has more openness to food selections, not super specific restrictive rule like food selections, and one that's a lifestyle, good and bad days, but you're always on, versus the all or nothing on and off mindset. And the last one that is a great, great, great indicator, okay, and this is in my opinion the best indicator of whether you're following a short-term success diet or you're following a long-term success diet. And that is, what is your area of focus? Are you focusing on the results you are getting for your efforts? Or are you focusing on how well your efforts are? Are you focusing on results or are you focusing on adherence? If you are only focused on results, I want to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. I want to gain, 10 pounds in the next 3 months. If you're only focused on results, that is almost always, if not always, going to be short-term success, not long-term success. However, if you're focused on adherence, if you said, these are the things that I want to keep in mind, these are kind of like my rules, my guidelines, this is the path I want to take, and I'm going to focus on just doing my best in every decision I have. So if I woke up this morning, what's the next decision I have is breakfast. I'm going to do my best with breakfast. Maybe I have a mid-morning meal. Okay, I'm going to do my best decision I have on that meal. So you're just taking it decision by decision. Not looking ahead. You're just taking it decision by decision, focusing on your adherence to the rules and concepts and guidelines that you're trying to follow. That is almost always long-term success, where you're effort-focused, not result-focused. Okay? So, think about this in your nutritional lifestyle is, how do you feel like you are doing? What do you feel like your diet is structured around? Is it structured around strict rules, very restrictive kind of food selections? Is it an all or nothing mindset, and are you really only focused on the results of what you're going to get for this diet? That's almost always going to be short-term successful. Yes, you will have some effect. You will make results. You will feel like you are successful, but only in the short term. Because often those diets do not promote any education or change to your current habits. If your current knowledge and your current habits led you to a place that you are not happy with, if you do not change those two things, you will always return to the same place you're at, or worse. Okay? If you want to make a change and have the change stay, you need to learn more about nutrition. Learn why the things I tell you are right or wrong. Okay? And you need to change your current habits. Again, whatever you currently do is getting you where you currently are. To get somewhere new, you will have to do something new. And not do it for the short term, do it for the long term. If the habits that got you to a healthier place don't stay, then you will not stay in that healthier place. Okay? So think through it. What is your diet focused around? Strict rules? Is it restrictive food selections? All or nothing and results only? Or is it focused on concepts? It's open to interpretation to fit your lifestyle. It is a lifestyle-based mindset. You're always on your diet. You have good and bad days, but you're always doing your diet. And are you focused on adherence? Focused on how good of effort you are putting in, not just staring at the finish line, waiting till you get there. Okay. Now, this is hopefully going to raise your awareness. So how do you then get to a lifelong successful diet? Is go listen to podcast 41. That is titled Diet Right, What Matters Most. That'll talk you through the components that we said of what a successful diet must contain. You must adhere to or pay attention to calories, protein intake, meal timing, macronutrient quality. And podcast 153, all these podcasts will be referenced in our show notes, by the way, on the description of the podcast for whatever platform you're on. But 153 is how many calories do you need? Podcast 33 is how much protein do you need? Podcast 249 talks about meal timing, and podcast 349 is meal timing. Golly, thank goodness these are going to be in the notes because I keep messing up these numbers, okay? So, let me start over. We said 153 is calories. Number 33 is protein. 249 is meal timing. 329 is meal frequency, how many meals you should have a day. And then macronutrient quality, meaning what are good carbs, good fat, bad fat, good protein, bad protein. 216 is protein, 21 is carbs, and 29 is fat. So you can hit the little replay, 30-second replay button, and that'll get you back through those again, okay? And then again, it'll be in our show notes. But that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So that is about 3.5 to 4 hours of podcasts. You are going to spend 3.5 to 4 hours easily throughout this week watching TV. Easy, if not probably in one day. So take 30 minutes a day for the next week, okay? And listen to those podcasts. In those podcasts, in 1 week, you can learn what you need to learn. So then for the rest of your life, you can have long-term success with nutrition. 1 week. Invest 30 minutes a day for 1 week, and you can have success for the rest of your life. Okay? Cool. If you have any questions or if you'd like any help, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We're always happy to help. Even though I started this podcast as a jerk and kind of picking on everybody, I'm still excited and happy to help everybody, okay? So email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Okay, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at brutalirongym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.